Here in Romans 5, God has already mentioned last week, Christ died for us. What a great truth. And because of that, as we see here in the next part of the chapter, starting in verse 9, we have been saved from wrath. And this is very important for us as Christians. Notice verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So saved from wrath. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word, the privilege to open it together here in the middle of the week and hear from you. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to each of us. You would guide us. You would be honored. And Lord, we would be changed. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So because we have been justified by his blood, notice there in verse 9, we shall be saved from wrath. This is an important verse about the wrath, which we're going to talk about. But first, let's talk a little bit about the justified by his blood. Now, we talked about justification in chapter 4, how justification is when God takes the righteousness of Jesus Christ, applies it to our account, and declares us just. It's a beautiful doctrine. But so much more has happened to us through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's power in the blood. Amen? Just a couple of quick scriptures. Acts 20:28. I just want you to be reminded tonight that the blood of Jesus Christ is paramount to our salvation. So notice Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So God has not only justified us by the blood of Jesus Christ, he has purchased us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now Romans 3:25 quickly, which we looked at a couple weeks ago. Romans 3:25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. That word propitiation means to be reconciled, to be satisfied. God is satisfied with our salvation because of our faith in his blood. Ephesians 1:7. Turn there. And I just want us to be reminded tonight, just in a very small summary form, about all the amazing things, some of the amazing things that happened to us because of the blood. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Colossians 1:20, there's just two more. Colossians 1:20. It says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. God has made peace through the blood of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where before we were God's enemies, that is no longer true. We are now his children. And then 1 Peter, you don't need to turn there, 1:18 says, we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. So in this passage, he says, now that you've been justified by his blood, and then the heart of our message tonight, Romans 5:9, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now, this is an important truth for us as Christians because it not only tells us that we've been saved from hell, but it also teaches that we've been saved from the tribulation period. Because both are wrath. Now, circulating among some Bible-believing churches is the new theory that we'll be raptured halfway through the tribulation period. They call it the pre-wrath rapture of the church. And what they've done is they've taken the tribulation period and they've cut it up into two halves, saying that the first half isn't wrath, but only the second half is wrath. Because they can't get around verses like Romans 5:9, which said we've been saved from wrath. So they have to call the first half not wrath, to fit Scripture. But if you've ever read chapters 6 through 11 of Revelation, which is the first half of the tribulation period, it sure looks like wrath to me. But This is what people have to do when they want to twist things. You and I have been saved from the wrath of hell, and we have been saved from the wrath of the tribulation period. Now, the tribulation period, if you go to Isaiah 13:9, is a period of wrath. God is pouring out his wrath upon the earth. And it's important for us to understand that this is one of the reasons why the church can't go into the tribulation. I honestly don't understand why Christians were trying so hard to talk themselves into the tribulation period. It doesn't make any sense to me. Why they want to go through it so badly? Why can't they just believe the Bible and believe God's going to take us out beforehand instead of trying to be there so much? Do you want to be there with the Antichrist and the creatures out of hell and the scorpions stinging people and hailstones kill? Why are they trying to get themselves there? So I don't understand it. Anyway, Isaiah 13:9, God talking about the tribulation. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. Now, we all know the day of the Lord. We've studied this over and over again in the Old Testament. Refers to the tribulation and the second coming and the kingdom. It's all in God's program. It's all one day. But the beginning of it, notice he says, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger. So there's the word. There's the word wrath. Now Zephaniah 1:15. We'll just do two Old Testament scriptures that show that the day of the Lord, the tribulation period, is a time of wrath. And if we have been saved from wrath, then there's no way we can be there. Just as a side note, I've shared with this with you before, but remember, God the Father is the husband of Israel. Jesus Christ is the bridegroom of the church. We are the bride of Christ. Amen? Two different groups of people, two different dispensational groups, right? So God is the husband of Israel. He's not the husband of the church, God the Father. God the Son is the bridegroom of the church. But are we not also the body of Christ? We're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, right? So if we're the body of Christ and we go into the tribulation period, that means that God the Father is going to be pouring out his wrath upon God the Son again. Think about that. Because the church is his body. We are Jesus, and Jesus is us. And so Jesus will have to suffer the wrath through his people again. But God said once for all. Amen? At Calvary. Anyway, got sidetracked there. Zephaniah 1:15. This day, that day, is a day of what? Wrath. A day of trouble and distress. A day of wastelessness and desolation. A day of darkness and gloominess. A day of clouds and thick darkness. This is God's description of that day. That day of the Lord, which begins with the 7-year tribulation period. All these words are talking about God pouring out his wrath upon the earth, but primarily upon Israel. This is the culmination of their chastisement, which, by the way, we'll be talking about in Sunday school on Sunday. And this isn't a one-off truth either. Let's look at a couple more. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. This concept of being saved from the wrath of the tribulation period. We already know we've been saved from hell, which we'll look at here later, talking about this reconciliation. But I just want to focus on the wrath to come. Notice 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So there it is again. One more, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Actually, two more. It says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And then one more, Revelation 3:10. Now remember, Revelation is written to the church. The chapters 2 and 3 are written to the churches. They're the letters to the churches, so we need to take heed to what they're saying. Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the whole world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. So there's no question what he's talking about here, is there? He's talking about this thing that's going to come on the whole world, which we read about in Revelation. God says, we've been delivered from that, from wrath. Hallelujah. So the next time somebody tries to talk you into the tribulation period, just say, hey, you want to go there? Go. I'm not going. Back to our passage, Romans 5:9, we've been saved from wrath because we've been justified by the blood. Verse 10, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So we're reconciled by the death and we're saved by the life. Isn't that beautiful? And we know this from scriptures. Verse 2 Corinthians 5:18, when reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. And we just read about how peace was made through the blood of His cross. So we were at enmity with God. We have now been reconciled to God by His death. And we've been saved by His life. By the life of Jesus Christ. Because He gave us eternal life when He saved us. And then verse 11, and not only so, but we also join God, the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. By the way, this is the only New Testament occurrence of this word. Even though it is a very common word in the book of Leviticus, it's only in the New Testament once in this verse. So what is the atonement? Well, let's look at it. Leviticus 17:11. And the word atonement, it means to cover, it means to restore, it means to reconcile. And God, when He told them to make the laver, the altar, He said it was blood. Notice Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Only blood. Of course, we get to Hebrews 9. He says, Christ was once offered for sins, and unto them shall He look a second time without sin unto salvation. We're told in Hebrews 9:22, without shedding of blood, there is no remission. So through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been, as we've seen, reconciled, purchased, propitiated, forgiven, redeemed, atoned, all through the blood of Jesus Christ. And because all of that has occurred through Jesus, we've been given eternal life. We have been reconciled to God by His death. We've been given life through His resurrection. And the heart of this is we've been saved from wrath. So hell is definitely wrath. No question. It's God, our just God, punishing sin. And let's look at that one last verse, 2 Timothy 2:19, where God talks about this. 2 Timothy 2:19, I hope that's the right reference because I forgot to write it down. Yes. No. Oh well, it's a nice verse. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this till the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Well, I can't remember the verse, but it says to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. It's in the New Testament somewhere. But hell is punishment. Hell is wrath being poured out upon those who rejected the payment of the Lord Jesus Christ. The tribulation is God's wrath being poured out upon Israel and the earth. They're two different things, aren't they? Tribulation, as we'll see in Sunday school, is the beginning of their final judgment, which culminates at the return of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about Israel. Whereas hell is the final judgment of all unsaved sinners. But we've been saved from both. That's what's so great. We've been saved from the final wrath of hell, but we've also been saved from this upcoming wrath, as we saw, which is going to be poured out upon the whole earth. We've been saved from that too. And the only way that we can not have to go through it is God must have to remove us. Amen? Hence why he teaches that we will meet the Lord in the air in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. We will meet Jesus in the clouds, not on the earth. He doesn't come to the earth. He just comes to the clouds. We meet him in the clouds. We go to heaven, and we have what we just studied in Sunday school, the judgment seat of Christ. And then when we come back with Jesus at the end of the tribulation period, that time of wrath will be culminated with the judgment of the Jews and the Gentiles, as we'll see Sunday. So we've been saved from wrath. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for saving us.